Talk Shoes. Recorded live.
Hi, my name's Brenda Lanoff, and I'm a creator of this Brenda's Mindful Healing Show and my company, Whispering Energetic Healing. And I'm an intuitive counselor and an energy healer and speaker. And I work with many individuals with some health challenging and not so challenging health issues around the world on Skype and phone. So really anyone who has access to a computer can have access to healing. And for further information as to how this works, how can this possibly work, I invite you to go to my website of Whispering Energetic. .ca. So again, that's Whispering Energetic CA. And one of my passions is to interviewing people, and interviewing people with all different backgrounds. And tonight, I get to interview Angelique Duffield. And Angelique is a multi-passionate entrepreneur whose love for travel, food, and exploring cultures has taken her to 30-plus countries and counting. Her ultimate goal is to live a location-independent lifestyle, helping clients globally online and hosting inspirational business retreats, yay, in amazing locations. For right now, her home is in the sunny wine region of the Okanagan Valley in British Columbia, Canada, where she enjoys open water, swimming, camping and kayaking with her husband, Paul, who happens to be Canada's very first official ice swimmer. Today, we're going to be talking with Angelique, and Angelique, has, on a personal note, has really helped me along with my own business since I moved to the Okanagan 3 years ago, and I was really scared about having to create a newsletter and learn about the program, and she was very patient with me and my mental blocks about, you know, really keeping up with the technology to as much as I can and as current as much as I can without feeling overloaded. So thank you, Angelique, and welcome to the show.
Oh, I'm glad to be on your show. Thank you so much for having me, Brenda.
Now, there's lots to talk about, and I really want to get into this whole open water swimming, because I'm just admire you for picking that up and really going with it this year. But if we could start at the beginning, I'd like to hear about your passions, because people love inspirational stories, and I know you've got a lot of them. How did you get this passion about your traveling? You know, I think the idea of traveling over 30 countries is appealing to a number of us, but what was the inspiration for, like, you just this need to travel as much as you did?
I actually started traveling with my mom at a young age because my mom was German and my grandmother still lived over in Germany. She was my only living grandparent. So from a young age, I had a passport, and we went over to Germany once every 1 or 2 years on summer holidays and spent, you know, 3 or 4 weeks there. So, you know, I was always exposed to the markets and, you know, just hiking in the mountains and learning about the people and the cultures already just from that. So that's kind of where it started. And I did some travels with my mom, but I quickly realized that we traveled very differently as I got into to becoming a teenager and then in my early adulthood. My mom liked package tours and liked to have everything organized for her. And I started to realize that that wasn't my sort of thing. Now, my mom passed away in 1997, so I was 27 years old, My dad had passed away when I was 14, so I was an only child, and I had a house in Ottawa where I'd grown up, and it kind of sparked the travel bug in me around then, because I just had an opportunity, and I had done some road trips with, I'd done one really big road trip with some girlfriends across the country. So traveling from Ottawa all the way across to Vancouver, which is something like 3,000 kilometers, and then all the way down to San Francisco along the coast and then back up again and across. I think it was something about 7,000 kilometers altogether.
Wow.
So I realized that after that trip that I probably preferred to be traveling alone, and since that trip, I kind of started to do a lot more road trips on my own. It kind of occurred to me that I didn't need to wait for somebody else to do it. So I did some road trips, you know, sometimes a week or two at a time. And basically, I've been across the country from coast to coast, probably two full times. And then from Ottawa to, you know, the Rocky Mountains a few more times than that. And I camped by myself. I stayed in youth hostels and just really enjoyed talking to people. And when you're alone and go to these places, it's fantastic because that's what hostels are known for. And they're bigger in Australia and Europe, and we don't use them as much here. But it's a great way to meet other people. You've got a communal kitchen. You talk to other people who tend to be solo travelers, and you meet a lot of great people and hear their stories and connect with them and possibly go visit them in other countries too, which I've done.
That's fantastic because, you know, just recently I was talking to somebody on this radio show who also, and I find this inspiring, and especially as a woman, to be traveling on your own. I think we can get so rigid as to the should and shouldn'ts and oh, how could we possibly be traveling on our own? So I really commend you for doing that. Like, I think that takes courage, and I think as a guy, they might not think of it so much as courage, but as a woman, it does. And so I think it's fabulous. And as living in a couple of other countries myself, just the experience that comes back with that is, you know, you just money just can't buy that experience.
I agree.
So very cool. So you carried on from North America then to other countries, did you?
That's right. Yeah. I decided to sell my house in 2004 and move out west. And I knew I wanted to go out west. I'd been out enough times before. I couldn't decide on Alberta or British Columbia. And I had a roommate at the time, and he looked after my house while I went out and kind of explored it. It was up for sale. And we just kind of communicated via phone and text back then. And I did a 4-week trip across to Alberta and really loved the way I was traveling, like a very intuitive kind of traveling, meeting people, talking to people, and ended up accidentally getting a job at Boundary Ranch in the Rocky Mountains in Kananaskis, south of Calgary. And I just happened to walk in. I was going to book a horseback riding trip, and it was a beautiful place. And I just asked if they happened to need somebody. And they said, well, we do actually. Someone's just left and we've got a waitressing position. You know, it's just temporary for 5 weeks till the end of the season. Would you be interested? And I went, oh my God. I ended up having an interview on the spot. And, you know, 3 days later, I had a job for a few weeks. So I decided that I loved where I was. Beautiful, like where people come as tourists to the destination in the Rocky Mountains. But I thought, you know, I don't want to deal with the winters here. Like those roads are closed, really a ton of snow. And that's part of why I was leaving Ottawa. But on the way back to Ottawa to finalize the sale of my house, I, of course, drove across the country again. So this was another 3,000 kilometer trip by myself. I stayed in a little youth hostel in Kenora, Ontario. So that's in Northern Ontario between Thunder Bay and Winnipeg, Manitoba. And I met a person who would later become my husband. So we met at a youth hostel, and we traveled for, we hit it off right away. And he was traveling for 3 months from England, and he was traveling across Ontario, Quebec, and into the States. And we hit it off, and I offered him a drive to the next city, which was, you know, an 8-hour drive. And the next big city after that is another 8 or 10 hour drive. So it really gave us an opportunity to get to know each other like you don't in any other way. And then eventually I was really going back so I could start a 7-month trip around the world. So I did a pit stop to see him in England a few months later, and then in Germany to visit my grandmother. And then I went on to Thailand and Singapore and Australia. I spent 4 months and 2 months in New Zealand. And quite a few of those I stayed at people's places that I'd met at youth hostels, or that I'd, yeah, basically met them at hostels, people who were traveling here and I'd met or connected with them. And it's, people are so open and you really learn a lot about them when you're traveling, because there is no pretense. You know, you're not getting all fancied up for a date, you know?
Cool. Well, I'd love to hear about your swimming. Now, I know that your husband, Paul, who is, again, Canada's first official ice swimmer, which is really hard to comprehend. I mean, I was fortunate to see Paul and do some swimming, and I was just, again, in awe. And now that you've picked it up, can you explain what a open water swimmer is? I mean, what does that mean, and how is that... like, how has that affected you, like, at a soul level? I mean, I can't imagine the strength that it must take, the mindset that it must take to do this, Angelique.
Well, first, an open water swimmer is just someone who swims in, you know, lakes and oceans and rivers, as opposed to a person who swims in pools. I really prefer being outdoors and not smelling chlorine and not having the lane ropes and things like that that you get in a pool. That's where I kind of do my training over the winter, because I can work on technique because it's a very closed environment. But ideally, I love swimming outdoors. And I didn't start swimming until, or I kind of, you know, splashed about and paddled about in the water, but I didn't really start focusing on swimming as you know, exercise and long distance swimming until a year ago, actually. It was almost exactly a year ago. And my husband had been swimming like all of his life, and he had joined the Okanagan Masters Swim Club. So he'd been training a couple times a week, and then he eventually got into this ice swimming. And I had supported him through all of that. And I've been the photographer for the for a lot of the events, the swim competitions and things like that. And all of a sudden, I just kind of decided to start swimming. I thought, hey, maybe I'll try this. And I'd seen enough videos and you know, heard enough of the coaching and things like that, and kind of started myself. And then found that I was actually, my style was pretty good. Like, everyone tells me that, you know, my stroke is really good. And what people don't realize is that swimming is very technical, and it's a very finesse sport. And you don't realize it until you do it, how many little things are affected just by, you know, the slope of your hand or the angle of your elbow and things like that. So yeah, I got into open water swimming, and this year I did my first across the lake swim. It's an annual thing here. It's 2.2 kilometers across Lake Okanagan. So I've been training over the winter in the pool, and then with my husband quite a bit, because he's a swimmer obviously too, but he was fantastically supportive, and he encouraged me to swim, and he would either kayak or swim alongside me. Because I'm so much slower than he is, he would breaststroke and I would do the freestyle, so the front crawl as people know it. And I built up my distance over probably a 16-week training program until I could do, my furthest distance was 2.7 kilometers in open water.
What amazes me is the temperatures that you guys have swam in. Like, I have to tell you, Angelique is a fabulous photographer, and she's done pictures for my website, and I encourage you to look at these pictures. But the one picture that you have where there's ice under the ramp.
Under the dock.
That was amazing. Like, that is an amazing, amazing photo.
Paul was doing some practice for his ice swim. So that's a mile in water that is 5 degrees Celsius or less. So that's 41 Fahrenheit or less. And it's a certified accreditation, basically, by the International Ice Swimming Association, which is based in South Africa. And when Paul did it, he was the 34th person in the world, and now there's, I think, over 70 of them. And besides that, there's lots and lots of ice swimmers, especially in Eastern European countries and in China and in Russia and South Africa.
Amazing.
So Paul did that, and I was, you know, I supported him through it, and I... Mm-hmm. You know, kind of challenged myself to try and swim in some colder water, see how long I could stay in the water last fall, last November.
Oh.
And I could do, I think it was 7 degrees. I did 400 meters. And then I started training in the spring again as well. And I could do about 800 meters or so, so maybe 20 minutes at 12 degrees Celsius. And that's when I started training in the spring.
Okay, so how do you get that mental performance? How do you build that up? Because I cannot imagine.
Some of it, I think, is we had worked with a friend and a person who is a doctor and a triathlete. He's a doctor for a lot of the triathlons and also in the swim club that Paul's with. And we learned a lot about things like hypothermia and how your body reacts to the cold. So that was a really interesting process over the last couple of years. Paul did a swim almost 2 years ago now, Christmas. And learning what your body does and doesn't do and how it reacts and that things are going to be okay. I mean, I should point out that you can't just go in and do this. Like, it's a lot of acclimatization. So just doing it for 2 minutes at a time and then 3 or 4 minutes and then lowering the temperature and things like that. So you really build up a tolerance for it. And the other thing is just to let yourself, like, acknowledge that there's a real burning sensation in your feet. And that's probably the hardest part for me. Paul gets kind of that ice cream headache. But for me, it's my hands that are really cold. And just, like I said, just kind of letting your hands go numb and working through that pain and the uncomfortable situation. Sometimes at 12 degrees, it's not quite painful. Like when I've been in 7 or 8 degrees, it's painful. But working through that and getting over it. And then once you start swimming, it's not as bad. You just kind of get used to it.
Yeah, I still can't imagine. I really can't. I don't understand how you can, you know, persist. You know, what drives you to be doing these cold swims? Like, I don't understand it. What's the motivator? What's the drive?
Sometimes I think it's doing something that not many other people can do. And I was never a big team sports person. You know, I played softball for a lot of years when I was younger. And, you know, I was a chubby kid. I was always in the outfield because I had a good arm, but I wasn't great at running. So I would always get picked last for the team sports, you know, basketball and volleyball and baseball and things like that. But I've always enjoyed things like hiking and camping and swimming, like I said, suddenly came to me. And I realized it's something I was really good at. And yeah. I had read a book a couple of years ago when we were in England by Lynn Cox, and it was called Swimming to Antarctica. And it's her biography, basically. And she's actually done a lot of cold water swimming, and she's kind of most famous for swimming between two islands in the Bering Strait called the Diomedes. And I remember reading her story and was really fascinated by it and seeing some videos and news clips about her and talking about her distribution of body fat. So I happen to be a bit like a seal, and I've got a good distribution of body fat, which makes me able to float really well in the water. So I've got really good body position. My feet don't sink, but it also means I'm pretty insulated. And I don't know if I don't feel it as much as other people or if I can just mentally get over it. You know, I couldn't run to save my life. I could never do an Ironman or anything like that, but I can certainly swim a longer distance and I can swim in colder water than a lot of people can. So I don't know what's special about me other than like my body seems to be the right body type for this particular sport, which is great. I found something that's perfect for me.
Right.
But one thing I would love to do, I don't know if I would ever swim an ice mile because right now I'm a very slow swimmer. So I would have to be in water too long to be able to accomplish that distance. However, I did say to Paul about, 6 to 8 months ago, I said, we were looking at the World Winter Swimming Championships and they were taking place in Finland this year and they take place every 2 years. And then the next one in 2016 is in Russia. And I said, you know, I bet you I could swim 25 meters and compete in that because those are open categories. And I thought, you know, that would be kind of cool. I think even if it's 2 degrees, I'm sure I could be in the water for 25 meters. You know, you just put your head down and just go really quickly and then you get out as soon as possible. So 25 meters would probably take me, you know, 30 seconds. I'm sure I could be in the water for 30 seconds. So that's kind of my goal when it comes to cold water swimming.
That is so, wow, cool. Oh, wow. Yeah, so it's so unique, and I have to think that this is, you know, this whole water swimming, open water swimming, you're able to, you know, transcribe this into your business or introduce it to your business and as an entrepreneur. Like, there must be aspects of that whole mindset that you could really apply. How have you found that you have been able to do that and with your business? And can you tell everybody here exactly what it is that you do and the mindset that it takes to really blend the two?
I've thought about that a lot when I'm actually in the water, because of the water, like swimming for me, especially in open water, when it's, you know, beautiful and smooth and calm, especially in the mornings, it's a really great time to think and almost meditate. You know, I think of it a lot like yoga. You know how in yoga they talk about being aware of your breath? Well, when you're swimming, you have to be aware of your breath because you can only breathe at certain times. So it gives you a real sense of what your body is doing too. And even feeling like I've got tendonitis in my shoulder, in my elbow. So when my elbow starts to hurt, I know that my body isn't in, my arm's not in the right position. So it's causing me pain. So it's a very much an awareness when you're swimming. And especially like for me, I just seem to be a bit intuitive about it. And like I said, it also gives you a lot of time to think. And I've thought about, how swimming relates, well, to me personally, it's a health thing, and it's just made me feel a lot more, sometimes alive, and sometimes just, it's an incredible feeling to be in the water, and especially when the sun is shining down, and some people get really afraid of the deep water and fish or weeds. Now, I do admit that I'm not crazy about the weeds, but the deep water doesn't really bother me, and it's just, yeah, it's just a very zen experience for me. And some of it that translates to business, I think it's things like perseverance and the training and knowing that you just have to go step by step. And sometimes we forget that in business. We think that we should be at a certain level. We see everyone else who's doing it. Yeah. And we don't realize that they've been doing it for, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 years, and we look at all these people that we think are overnight success stories, but we don't realize their whole background that's been happening, you know, for, like I said, for years leading up to this and all the little efforts that they've put into it to lead up to this point in time. So we're kind of comparing our beginning story to their highlights reel.
That's so true. I mean, and we do, I think it's a tendency for most people to compare to somebody else, especially within the same field. And you get to a certain point, you realize, no, they, if you really have a chance to talk to them, they've been on their journey. And maybe it's been a real hard journey. And I think it can be easy to make assumptions that it's gone a certain way for a particular person. But, you know, at the end of the day, we're on our own journey. And everybody has a unique journey, a unique story. And it's interesting. I mean, it's interesting to talk to people and, like, how does it, you know, what's their story? How did they, how are they making their journey? How are they handling the bumps and, you know, along the way on the road? Like, how are they coping with things and what inspires them? So to me, for what you're doing, I think it's very inspirational, and I think it's just you got so much material now that you could really incorporate into your business.
Well, I am actually writing a blog post about what swimming teaches me about business, and it's some of the things like just get started. You know, like in swimming, I just did start. You know, I just suddenly was in the water and doing little things and making little steps. And that's exactly like starting a business. And things like swim your own race. And that's one thing that I've loved about swimming, because it's you with your own best time. And the swim community has been incredibly supportive, and it's not competitive at all. I guess, you know, some people are competitive, but everyone celebrates each person's own little achievements and their personal bests. And sometimes in team sports, you don't get that. But the idea of swimming your own race applies to your business as well. You know, not looking at what everyone else is doing. And, you know, I do that too. Everyone else does, I believe. You know, we just have to kind of bring back that focus and think, it's all about me and my business and where I am now, and doing it for myself and not looking at everyone else that's out there doing these things and, you know, the next shiny object, and focusing on what I have to do and right. things like what you're meant to do. Like I said, I seem to be perfect for swimming in cold water in just a swimsuit without a wetsuit, like a lot of people need to do. And that kind of relates to finding the one thing that you're supposed to be doing in business. You're like your one true thing, getting clarity and what you're really good at. So for me, it's kind of big picture thinking and seeing strategies and processes. And, you know, we've worked together and, you know, built up, like you said, about your newsletter and social media and things like that, and kind of building a, you know, a step-by-step process. So that's what I'm good at in business.
Yes, I believe that. And well, you're a good teacher, and I've come up, you know, I create these mental blocks. I'm very good at that. And I can get so worked up, but I know I'm, you know, it's self-created. And then I look back on it and think, well, I wonder why I felt that was so difficult. But it's an ongoing journey as far as keeping up with social media. So I'm really pleased that you're there to rely on to help me sort of move along and keep up with the times, somewhat for what I can handle. So so let's let everyone know here exactly what is it that you have to offer. Like, what is your business? And you're a wonderful photographer, and I understand that you did photography in England for a period of time, and you're also doing it here in the Okanagan. So let everybody know, what are your skills? What do you have to offer as an entrepreneur?
Well, I started in, I got my diploma in photography way back when you used film photography and developed your own pictures and things like that and chemicals. So I'm really appreciative that I had that start. So I have a diploma in photography and a degree in psychology. So the psychology really helps me thinking about marketing, and I'm so interested in how things work. And when I moved to England with my husband, we spent 4 years there between Derby and Nottingham, so right in the middle of the country, and we lived there for 4 years, and I worked in an admin job for a few years, and then they downsized, and I thought, you know, I really should start using my photography and try and see if I can make it as a business. So I started my own wedding and portrait photography business there, and ran that for a couple of years. It was very successful, and I absolutely loved doing it, because one of the great things about having the big population in England, you know, within an hour's drive, there were hundreds of great venues for weddings, including castles. I took pictures of a wedding in a castle before, which is just incredible, like such great opportunities. And then when we moved back here, we decided we had to decide between me getting my citizenship in England or Paul getting his citizenship here. So we decided that we preferred the lifestyle here. Now, there's things, of course, that I miss about living in England, and it's so great to have, you know, weekend vacations in, you know, Spain or Turkey or France, and just going for 3 or 4 days and going for a holiday. That's one of the things I love, completely different cultures. But here, of course, it's the ongoing lifestyle and just loving the nature. And, you know, we live near the lake, and it's made it a great opportunity for me to be able to swim and kayak and camp and do all the things that Paul and I both love. So I had to start again with my business. And there's so many photographers in the Okanagan. I mean, there are, especially when it changed over to digital over the last, you know, 5 to 8 years, that it's really started to see an influx of everyone being able to be a photographer and not going to school for it, to university or college the way I did. And I started to use social media to market my own business. And then I kind of realized that people started asking me, well, how did you do this? And how did you do that? And why are you doing this? And oh my God, I didn't know you could do that. And I kind of morphed my business into more social media marketing. And that's kind of stuck with me for the last 3 years, or I've been running my own business. And I still do photography because I think it's really important, especially with all these copyright infringements and Pinterest, you see that, for people to take their own pictures and to have good quality pictures of themselves, not just headshots, but really showing that personality. Because, of course, when people find you online, there you have to build that kind of trust, and that comes from pictures and videos and things like that. Mm-hmm. So really, I started, I mostly work with business owners and coaches and consultants and holistic therapists and people who are frustrated and feel really time-strapped but want to create an irresistible online presence so that they can attract clients to them easily and not have to go chasing clients. So that's kind of how it started with me. You know, I work with people who want to get found and are really not very tech savvy sometimes. So I help take that frustration out of it for them. So I create a personalized step-by-step plan for them. So it can include social media and newsletters and blogging and sometimes video if they're comfortable with it. And doing the frustrating techie stuff for them, which is what I've helped you with. And yes. And then people can focus on what they are good at in their own business.
Well, I think so. And there's so many of us that are we really are not interested in spending any time on this whatsoever. You just want to do your business. And, you know, for myself, it was like, well, I love doing, you know, energy work. I just love it. I love the results and I love working with people, but, oh, geez, got to learn this program. It just becomes overwhelming.
And I think that's what happens with entrepreneurs. Like when you're yes. starting to work for yourself, besides kind of being isolated and not realizing that other people are feeling exactly the same way you are, you don't have that connection with people as much anymore. But you also have to wear all those hats, like marketing and bookkeeping and promoting yourself and actually working with the clients. And I think I'm a big advocate of outsourcing things. Like I work with people on kind of contract basis through a company called Odesk, and that's outsourcing just for, you know, hourly jobs or projects for whatever it is, for research, for creating graphics, for doing the photo editing, for all okay. the things that I don't like doing. Great. I find somebody who's good at it and who likes doing it and can do it way faster than I can. So I take that off of my plate and hire it out to someone else. And I also teach business owners how to do that too, because I think sometimes you don't realize that that option is out there and that it's actually pretty easy. And again, it's just kind of creating a step-by-step plan and a template for people to realize, you know, I can hire somebody for just a little project and maybe yeah. research something and do a spreadsheet for me. So yeah, teaching business owners how to do that, because there's still things that I do myself too that I should probably be letting go of, but it's kind of building up that process and letting go bit by bit. And eventually you have your own, you know, much better structure to running your business. So like I said, you can be doing the things that you love to be doing. For me, it's photography and workshops and training and coaching people.
Now you can do this. I know we've had our sessions on Skype, which is very cool. So
yeah.
you can do your training right on Skype. And,
yes.
And you've done recordings with me that then I can save and come back yeah. to. So that's been really beneficial. If you feel you've missed a step, then I go, okay, well, I'll just, you know, do the Dropbox and just review it again. I love that. So it really helps with, you know, instead of you having to come to my house and, you know, sometimes maybe that's required, but I think for the most part, from the experience I've had with you, is that we can do this at a distance. And I mean, that's how I do my work, is at a distance. So it's great. Oh, I just love
for
it.
For sure. I love it too. I think it's such a huge impact that technology's had. I mean, besides all the headache of it that people feel about that marketing and having to learn stuff new, there are so many benefits to it. And in your business, and even right now, here we are, we're in different cities and we're being recorded and we're being broadcast live. And I do the same thing. You and I have used Skype for a number of times. And now I'm using Google Plus Hangouts on Air, and that broadcast video online. So it's either live streaming or online video. And it's such a great technology because people can see you. It's that know, like, and trust factor. So they can actually see your personality. So especially working with coaches and consultants in that, that's how people get to know you. It's almost as good as being there. And the other benefit for me is that we can do screen sharing. So if I'm trying to teach you how to do something, setting up your newsletter or describing something in LinkedIn or on Facebook, I can actually share my screen with you and I can say, here's where you need to change this, or let's go into your WordPress website and this is where you can change it. And like you said, have a recording that you can refer back to later. So I don't need to take notes. You don't need to take notes. Just focus on what we're talking about. So technology can be so amazing.
Yeah, it's perfect. I just love it.
Me too.
And it's so intimidating, and there's just so much out there to learn. It can be just so overwhelming. Just so to be able to rely on someone like yourself as a resource and where you can guide us to, maybe hand off your work to this person or for yourself or whatever the situation is exactly what's needed. Well, that's cool. What do you have coming up here in the near future? Do you have some, it's summertime. I think it's a bit quiet for most people out there. What do you have for anything happening this fall that you're going to be courses or anything that you're able to
provide? I do. Summer in the Okanagan tends to be pretty quiet, depending on what business you're in. Things either kind of slow down because people are going on holidays and enjoying the lake, or they are super crazy busy, like working with bed and breakfast or the wedding industry. That's where things are just so slam crazy busy that, we work together starting in the fall again. So I've got some workshops lined up with different associations and businesses. And I also teach at the Center for Arts and Technology. And that's here in Kelowna. And I developed a course for them, actually. I actually got my job on social media. It was through a Facebook group, and one of the photographers who happened to be the department head of the Center for Arts and Technology, like a business college, he contacted me and said, hey, we're going to be starting a social media program in the photography department, and you would be perfect. You're a photographer and you teach social media. So it was 2 weeks before the course started, and I had to develop the entire course from scratch. And that was a real challenge because I created workshops for 2 or 3 hours, but creating 11 weeks times 3 hours a week was suddenly hitting me that this is a lot of material. So one of the things that I did was I wanted to teach students, and they're generally 18 to 25 year olds. There's some older students as well, but that's the majority of the age. And I wanted to teach them not just how to use social media, but really bring in a networking and collaboration aspect. And that's what's something that I'm very big on. And I decided to create a term project for them. And I called it the Bucket List Project, so that they would use all of these social networks that they were learning about and setting up and connecting with different people and posting and tweeting and pinning and all that sort of stuff, but really so that they would have a goal for it, which is what you really should have anyway as a business. You should have, a marketing plan or set goals, and not just be kind of posting willy-nilly. So I was trying to really instill that in the students from the get-go, because this was actually their first term. So they were very green, and they really surprised me at the end of the project because they had some amazing accomplishments. So I encourage them to reach out to people who are, way above people that they would ever think they could connect with. So people who are influential photographers, or people that were superstars that they just really wanted to reach out to. And if you could have that one or two people over to dinner, who would it be? That sort of thing.
Yeah.
And some of my students had some amazing connections. Some of them got jobs out of it. Some of them just kind of networked with people and are doing job shadowing. Someone connected with Pink, the pop singer, with a gold medal winning women's snowboarder and a Victoria's Secret model. So some amazing achievements, and they surprised themselves, and they overcame a lot of their fears and insecurities, and just that's part of what I'm teaching with this whole process, that we're all people And social media makes it so much easier to network and to collaborate. And in the end, it challenged me to create my own Hangout On Air show. And I thought, the second term that I run this course, I've run it 3 times now, I thought I should do this myself and do my own bucket list project. So I reached out to some photographers. The first time it was kind of, you know, more Okanagan-based photographers. And the last time, which was ended in June, I did the photography pros and how they use social media. So basically a chat show using Hangouts On Air. And I had some really big people on the show. And then the students could jump on and ask questions, or they could ask questions via chat. And that was a challenge for myself to reach out to these people. So I wanted to show them that I was doing exactly what they were doing. So, you know, Right. Walking the talk sort of thing. Yeah. So that's collaboration is a huge thing for me, a huge premise. And I really do think that collaboration is the shortcut to success.
No, I can hear. I can really hear the passion in your voice, and when you talk about how the students are then reaching out and how they're going beyond their comfort zone, and I can really hear that teacher voice in you and how you enjoy that. So, yeah, that's super. That's one of your passions. Like, it's come through very, very clearly as a teacher.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I love teaching. You know, in whether it's workshops or teaching these students, but it's just amazing to watch people accomplishing different things. And even watching you, Brenda, like you've got, this is episode number 37 of your show, and I bet you never thought that you would even start talking on air.
Well, it has been an interesting journey, some disasters, but for the most part, things have gone fairly well, and I'm pleased with it. It's been so fun, you know, just interviewing people with all different backgrounds and you know, and just really touching as to what their passions are and what motivates them. And everybody needs inspiration, so this is what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you have any tips, anything that you, I don't know, for someone like myself who's just an entrepreneur and they don't know where to begin. I mean, you know, they know what they love to do. They know they should reach out, but where would you start? Maybe you don't even have a website set up. Like, where would you, somebody's just brand new and they don't have the courage yet. They're just, you know, it can be very intimidating. What would be your suggestion as a really good start?
So if it's someone who's already kind of has an idea of what they want to do with business, think about the type of people who are your ideal clients. And you know, we talk about that sort of thing all the time, but who do you most want to serve? Like, what can you do to help these people, to support whoever it is, and create basically a client avatar? So imagine exactly what that person looks like, how old they are, where they live, what type of books they read, what sort of TV they watch, where they would hang out online, what sports they're into, what kind of car they would drive. And you can kind of relate that into social media and then connect with people online. So when I talk to people about social media for their business, I generally tell them to pick one or two and do them really well. Don't jump onto everything. You kind of need to understand where your customers are hanging out and pick those social networks and just kind of ignore the rest, because otherwise that's how you start to feel really frustrated and stretched thin. So if you're working with professionals and people like, you know, doctors and lawyers and corporate world, LinkedIn might be a fantastic fit for you. The general public is on Facebook. Twitter is great for connecting with a lot of businesses, but even things like the food industry, anything that's really quick paced. So think about where your customers are hanging out and think about what groups you could join on Facebook and on LinkedIn, or lists to follow on Twitter, and start to just kind of observe what they're saying. And you can start to track things with hashtags. So a hashtag is like the number sign, shift 3. And hashtags are basically like categories or filters. So you can have hashtag open water swimming or social media or all different sorts of things. Whatever you're interested in, there's going to be a hashtag for it.
And so, Audrey, I have to ask you, Daniel, and even for myself here with the Twitter, that's another area I'm not too comfortable with. So if I want to learn more about Twitter, I mean, I know we haven't really spoke about it yet because I haven't put a lot of attention to it. So if I give you a call and just say, hey, Angelique, just work with me on this, could you spend some time just explaining the basics of it and help me get set up?
Oh, for sure. That's a lot of what I do with businesses. So besides the strategy, I can set everything up for you so that you can just jump in and get started. And on my website, so at brightsparkmedia.ca, and on my YouTube channel, I've got little tutorial videos, I've got infographics, I've got blog posts that will talk about how to set something up from the beginning, you know, a few first steps. And like I said, a lot of it is just thinking about online networking the same way you would do in real life. So you don't have to do it all on social media, but finding some networking groups or meetups. And you know, if your clients are moms, where would they be hanging out? You know, are they, do they have like mom coffee meetings at the local coffee shop or at yoga for moms and things like that? How can you just get out there and connect with your ideal audience?
Yeah, excellent. I like the idea of just sort of concentrating on one thing at a time and not getting, you know, I mean, you're just starting out. Do you really want to be, you know, tweeting and linking LinkedIn? And, you know, it can be really, really overwhelming. So just one thing at a time and just getting comfortable with it. I think that would work for a lot of entrepreneurs that are just starting out.
So well, the one thing that I would definitely say is everybody needs a website. And the website is kind of like your calling card. People treat it like a brochure, but I would definitely recommend that people have a blog. And I've talked to you about this as well. One of the people kind of get scared when you say blogging, and I don't know why, but there's a lot of fear and pressure around it. But if you just think of each blog post answering one of your clients' questions. So if you've been in business for a while, you probably get kind of similar questions all the time. Like for you, it might be, what's the difference between, you know, body talk and emotion code? Or why would I use holistic treatments versus my trusting my general doctor? So things like that, that people are already asking those questions. So that's a really easy way for people to start blogging, like write down 20 questions on a piece of paper and start doing a blog post that only has to be a couple of paragraphs long.
Right. And it's just working your way through it and getting over the blocks about sitting down and just one thing at a time. I mean, that's a struggle that I do go through because I can easily procrastinate and tell myself, well, I'll deal with it another hour or two and then, you know, create some excuse to myself why I can't, you know, keep the appointment with myself. So, no, thank you so much, Angelique. That's good. It I think it sort of eases my mind up as to, okay, just to keep moving along and with you, and which I really appreciate. And so tell, if you can tell us again as to your website and where can people find you, and maybe if they have some questions, just send you an email and
sure.
Go from there.
Sure. Okay. My main website is brightsparkmedia.ca. So that's where I have a lot of my social media tips and tricks and blog posts. And I also have my new online show. So I do broadcast a biweekly show called The Power of Free. And it's talking to experts in various industries and how they are using free resources online to create success in their business. So it's kind of an interview show like we're doing here and talking about Facebook and LinkedIn and mindset and the law of attraction and Evernote and all sorts of free tools. So that's on my website as well. So that's a lot of tips that people would be able to take away from. I try and keep some nice actionable steps. Mm-hmm. And that's mostly where you would find stuff. If you're interested in Hangouts on Air, I've got a website called hangoutsonairstrategy.com. And find me on Facebook at facebook.com/brightspark social media and on Twitter at Angelique Duff.
Okay. Excellent. So,
thanks.
Yeah, thank you for coming on.
Awesome. It's been really fun. It's nice to just kind of have a free-flowing chat, and it's been really great talking to you.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it too. So, great. Great information and well, we'll be catching up with you, Angelique, and keep moving along with my business. So I appreciate, again, you coming on, and we will be in touch. And I want to mention, yeah, for anybody that's interested, I do offer within my my website. You can actually just go to the calendar. I'm offering, it's called like a complimentary energy scan. So I do go in and I'm checking intuitively as to any, you know, blocks that come up within your chakras is what I'm checking. And it's just kind of an interesting way of seeing, you know, if there's some issues that are going on or not, and the, you know, the good and bad and in between. So I enjoy doing that, and you're welcome to go ahead and set up a complimentary scan. And we'll catch you again, everyone, here shortly. And we'll be bringing on a new guest. So once again, we'll talk to you later, Angelique, and you take care, and bye, everyone.
Bye. Hello? Are we still on?